You are listening to the East Point Church Sermon Podcast. We're a church that exists to glorify God as a gospel community that is growing in faith and reaching the world. From wherever you are listening, we hope that you are encouraged and challenged by today's sermon.
All right. What's going on, East Point Church? Good morning. My name is Sam. If we have not had the privilege of meeting, I get to serve as the lead pastor here. I'm going to invite you to open up your Bibles this morning to Mark chapter 2, the second chapter of the Gospel of Mark. And let me just say, I love being a ministry partner at East Point Church. Seeing that video, watching all those smiles. I'll tell you a secret, if you promise not to tell anybody. I'm actually a student ministry pastor, pretending to be a lead pastor. So that's our little secret. Don't tell anybody, but I still get so jazzed just watching all those students. Love our student community. And hey, if you are a teenager here, or if you know a teenager and you are not showing up on Wednesday nights at Amplify, you got to come, man. This is not just a once a year camp or a twice a year camp. This is a vibrant gospel community where students are having a time of their lives, but they're also learning what it means to live for Jesus in a world that does not want them to live for Jesus. So grateful for that student community. I have a friend. He lived in Valencia, Spain for about 15 years. How many of you have ever been to Spain? Anyone? Okay. I have not, but I have to raise my hand to show you that I want you to raise your hand. I've never been, but he lived in Valencia, Spain for 15 years, but he was not there to sightsee. He was not there as a tourist. He was there as a missionary, okay? And I remember he told me this story of his early days as a missionary to Spain. He was being coached, and he said to his senior missionary, he's like, hey, I'm going to go to the grocery store. I got to go grocery shopping. And the guy said, where are you going? Well, I'm going to go grocery shopping. And he's like, no, you're not. He's like, I need milk. I need eggs. Like, I'm going grocery shopping. He says, no, you're not. He goes, hey, like, with all due respect, I need to. My family needs to eat. I need to go grocery shopping. And the guy said, you're not going grocery shopping. And so finally, my friend said, well, what do you mean? What do you mean? How am I supposed to eat? He goes, no, you're not tracking with me. You're not going grocery shopping. You're going to meet Tony and Maria. And while you're there, you'll buy groceries. You see, my friend, as he was a new missionary, his coach was trying to instruct him. He was trying to teach him that as a missionary, he needed to change his perspective. Everything was a part of the mission. You're not going to the grocery store. That's not your purpose. Your purpose is to go and meet the people that God is calling you to meet. And while you're there, just buy some groceries. It's subtle, but do you understand the difference? My friend needed to learn that we must always keep our eyes open to see where Jesus is moving. Do we keep our eyes open to understand that Jesus is pursuing people all around us? And we must be alert to realize how he just may be positioning us to be a part of what he's doing. And so I just want to talk to you, Christian, followers of Jesus in this room, are you aware of the fact that you are living on a mission field? Have you thought about that? You're not in India, you're not in Africa, unfortunately, you're not in Spain, but do you understand that where you live, where you play, where you work is a mission field nonetheless? And so here's what I want to tell you, East Pointer, Christian, you're not going to work. You're going to shine the light of Jesus. And while you're there, get some work done. Hey, teachers, faculty, you're not going to teach. You're going to share the transformative love and patience of God that he has given you. And while you're there, teach some math. You're not going to the gym. You're not going to get a workout. You are going to see where the Lord is already at work pursuing people and to be a friend and an encourager and to offer a message of hope. And while you're there, pick things up and put them down. Tomorrow morning when you leave on your commute, you're not going to get a cup of coffee. You're going to engage with a barista who is far from Jesus and needs to know that hope is very much still alive. And while you're there, get your oat milk shake and espresso. Jesus is at work all around you. And you see, the problem is in my life, and I'm sure many of you, the problem in your life is that we can become so narrow in our focus. You know what I mean? And the way I say it is our missionary perspective, our missionary mentality can be snuffed out by our GTD mentality. You guys know what the GTD mentality is, right? Getting things done, all right? I am busy, I am working, I am checking tasks off my list, and we can become so consumed with doing, so consumed with executing, that we become blind to all of the ways that Jesus is working around us. We lose sight of the bigger picture, and here's the bigger picture, that Jesus has called you to follow him, to be transformed by him, so that he can partner with you to reach the world. Jesus is inviting you to be a part of the healing. He's inviting us to be a part of the transformation of this world, one conversation, one interaction, one gospel conversation at a time. We get to share the good news that there is another kingdom. We get to proclaim that the operating system of this world has been supplanted and replaced by the operating system of the kingdom, and we get to invite the people that we love and interact with to opt out of the brokenness of this world and to experience life in Jesus' kingdom. We've been looking for the last few weeks at Mark chapter 1, verse 17, and we see here, look what it says, and Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. Do I have any fishermen in the room? Fisherwomen? Where are my fisherwomen at? Okay. And fishermen? Just as you bring fish into the boat, he's saying, I'm going to teach you. I'm going to let you be a part of this mission where you bring people into the kingdom. To be a follower of Jesus, to be a disciple means, number one, that we follow Jesus. Number two, that we are transformed by Jesus. And number three, that we partner with Jesus. Jesus is at work all around us. He is pursuing people, and we get to be a part of it. And maybe you're here this morning, and you are not a follower of Jesus. Maybe you're just getting started on your journey, or maybe you're pretty against all of this, and you're like, nah, I'm not about that life. And you find it a little bit weird that we're talking this morning of like, you guys are on a mission, and I can understand how this might seem like a cosmic MLM situation, right? Where we get commissioned. No, it's nothing like that. But let me just bear with me for a second and think about this, right? If that's you, if we truly did believe this, and we truly believed with all of our heart that Jesus wants to transform people and change their lives, and we weren't super passionate about this, wouldn't you think we were pretty hateful? And so Jesus is about this. He is pursuing people. He wants to change their life, and we are also about this. And so as we read just a few verses this morning, I want to share with you very quickly, Mark chapter 2, verses 13 through 17, we're going to see that Jesus comes near to those who are far. And you and I, friends, we get to be a part of it. So are you ready? Are you guys ready to hear the Bible? Are you ready to hear the word of God? This will change your life. So let's dive in. Let's read the whole thing. We'll pause and pray, and then we'll just break it down line by line. So let's see what the Lord says to us. Mark chapter 2, starting in verse 13. He went out again beside the sea, and all the crowd was coming to him, and he was teaching them. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, follow me. And he rose and followed him. And as he reclined at table in his house, many tax collectors and sinners were reclining with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. And the scribes of the Pharisees, when they saw that he was eating with sinners and tax collectors, said to his disciples, why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? And when Jesus heard it, he said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. Father, would you open our eyes that we may behold wonderful things out of your word? Would you show us beautiful things and then give us courage to respond accordingly, Lord? We are yours. We are available. We are listening, and we pray that you would transform us into the image of Jesus because of what we see and learn today. We love you, Lord. We give you all the honor and the glory and the praise. May everything said shine a spotlight on your goodness. Hide me behind the beauty of the cross and take first place in Jesus' name. And the church said, Amen. All right, look at the top, verse 13. It says, he went out again beside the sea, and all the crowd was coming to him, and he was teaching them. Jesus is always teaching. You see, he's not simply proclaiming the kingdom of God. He's not simply announcing that it has arrived. It says he is teaching them how life works in this kingdom. He's not simply saying it's here. He's teaching us how to operate here. And so what are God's ways? How do we do things in the kingdom of God? How does the kingdom of God differ from the kingdom of this world? How are relationships different? How does our approach to work and parenting differ? What's the sexual ethic of the kingdom? How does God want us to approach others? How should we treat our neighbor? There's so much to learn in the kingdom. To follow Jesus is to be a pupil. Because not a pupil, like a pupil, like a student, because Jesus is always teaching. And it's one of my favorite questions, and I think this is a healthy question to ask in any gospel community. What is he teaching you lately? Jesus is always teaching. And so every day we sit before him. If you're a Christian, you sit at his feet daily like a child ready to receive. And you say, teach me. What is he teaching you lately? That's a great marriage question for all of you who are married. It's a great friend question for all of you who have friends. Hopefully all of us. What is he teaching you lately? And here's my thought. If you're not sure, if you're like, huh, that's a good question, my question would then be, have you been skipping class? Jesus is always teaching. Class is in session. So let's come and hear him teach. So this morning, class is in session, but we don't actually get to hear the content of Jesus' teaching because Mark doesn't always tell us. He often shows us. And so today, we're not going to hear from Jesus in a classroom. We're going to hear from Jesus on a field trip. We're going to see the lesson lived out in real time. And where does our field trip take us? It says that he was walking by the tax booth. He's walking by an H&R Block and a Charles Schwab. No, that's not what a tax booth is here. You see, the Jews back then, they were not their own sovereign nation, okay? Like in the Old Testament, they were their own kingdom with a king. You think of King David and King Saul, King Solomon, people like that. Well, in the New Testament, they were living under Roman occupation, okay? Which means they had to pay taxes to Caesar. Now, here's where things get really interesting. The Roman government, they did not go around and collect their own taxes. Instead, they would recruit Jews from among their own people into their employment to go and collect taxes from their friends and neighbors. But here's where it gets crazy. Imagine one of your friends, imagine your next door neighbor was recruited by the Roman government and said, hey, you are now in our employ. We want you to go and collect taxes. And here's what your salary is. Whatever you can get on top of what you owe us. And so these tax collectors would go around to their own people and they would extort them and bully them, and they had the whole power and backing of Rome behind them and nobody could touch them. And so how do you think those people were well received in their community? They weren't getting invited over for dinner very much. They weren't loaded with opportunities to join their community group and their synagogue. No. These were turncoats, sellouts, traitors, despised. No one liked them. As they walked by, people would spit at their feet. Sinner. These are tax collectors. And so Jesus, he is walking by a tax booth. He is walking by one of these tax collectors, and we see his name is Levi. And as Jesus is approaching the tax booth, we go, here we go. Tell them, Jesus. That's right, yeah. And let's confront the establishment, Jesus. Oh, yeah, why don't we turn some tables and get out that whip that you're talking about making, and let's go and go to town. Tell that tax collector off. And so Jesus walks ahead of his disciples. He walks up to the tax booth, and I just imagine Peter's like, yes, take him, you know, and James and John are like, call down the lightning, Jesus, get him. And he comes up to Matthew, and Matthew probably looks at him, or Levi looks at him all, you know, skittish, and he's like, can I help you? And Jesus, he says, follow me. says, follow me. And we know by now, as we've studied the Gospels, as we've studied what it means to be a disciple, he's not saying, hey, follow me down the street. I got to show you something. No, no, he's calling him to follow him with his life. He's saying, follow me like a student. Join this immersive internship as it was. Follow me. Come and literally travel with me so that you can not only learn my teachings, but that you can learn my way of life, and then you can emulate it and you can live this way too. Follow me with your life. Make my way the new dominating reality of your life. Come and get a software update, a software reset. I will teach you my operating system and you will experience the nearness of God. He says, follow me. Are you surprised by his choice? Do you think the disciples are surprised by his choice? They're like, what? This guy gets the invite? I mean, the fishermen I get, right? I mean, they're like small business owners. I mean, that's going to be useful on the road. But this guy, he gets the invite? And friends, I feel like we get an entire sermon in just two words. Because in this simple action, we realize that no one is too far beyond the reach of his grace. Because Jesus comes near to those who are far. And we don't get any words from Levi. We don't get any of the dialogue. We just see his reaction. What did Levi do? He rose and followed him. Like many of you in this room, he responded to Jesus' call in a very simple way. He pivoted. He turned. He changed directions. He left his old pursuits behind. And he said, I will now follow you wherever you may go. Levi became a follower of Jesus. Are you a follower of Jesus? Now notice, I didn't ask you, do you believe in God? Okay. I didn't ask you if you go to church. I'm not asking you if you grew up with traditional values. I'm asking you right here from the text, are you a follower of Jesus? Have you surrendered control of your life? Have you stopped pursuing all of those other pursuits and aims that your heart wants to go after? And you said, I follow Jesus. Are you a follower of Jesus? And if not, I say this with all respect, what are you waiting for? Turn and follow Jesus. And maybe you're here and you're like, Sam, that sounds nice, but I'm way too far gone. You don't know my story. You don't know what I've done. You think I can just show up and expect to be accepted? I'm a tax collector. You're not too far gone. Look at Levi, friends. Jesus comes near to those who are far. He calls for you to follow him. And so I say with all of the energy in my soul, say yes. Get baptized. Turn to Jesus. Make him the dominating reality of your life, and it will transform your soul and your eternity. Levi, he followed him. Levi, he turns. And now color me cynical, but I just can't help but wonder, will this tax collector, will this guy truly ever find himself in like the inner circle? You know what I'm saying? Okay, he's following Jesus, but like with his past and his history, he's probably never going to get like that close, right? Well, let's see what it says. Look at verse 15. And as he reclined at table in his house, many tax collectors and sinners were reclining with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. So we fast forward a little bit, and we find that Jesus is having dinner. Yum, right? He's probably eating kava, because it's Mediterranean, Middle Eastern. If you don't know what kava is, I'm so sorry. You need to go repent and go find a kava in D.C. He's having dinner with his disciples, and we see that the new guy is with him. Levi got invited to dinner, and that's beautiful. The first act that we see Jesus doing with a man who was despised by most is having a meal with him. Friends, this is the universal sign for acceptance. Do you know that? Every culture throughout all of human history. I mean, this is the ultimate sign of we're together. We share a meal. And so Jesus is sharing a meal with Levi. But it gets even better. not only has this outsider been invited and welcomed into a meal, Jesus has given him the distinct privilege of hosting the meal. Do you see what it says? Did you read it? He reclined at table in his house. He is in Levi's house. Friends, who gets to host important people? Important people. Who gets to host dignitaries and visiting ambassadors? Important people. I want you to imagine that you're, I don't know, just you know, it's not hard to imagine, I guess, but a foreign dignitary is coming, right? And somebody from the White House calls you and says, "Hey, Tom, would you like to host the Prime Minister of Malaysia?" And you're like, "Me?" Like, "Yeah, you." What an honor, right? Jesus is giving Levi an honor. He's not just invited to dinner. Friends, check it. Jesus is having a meal with someone who most people wouldn't even look in the eyes, often in the name of religion. And so in this powerful gesture, Jesus is bestowing dignity on a man who was despised. He's affirming his value. He's affirming his humanity. His invitation to Levi and his invitation to you is not just like a token checkbox. It's not just a politically correct gesture because like, man, I'm supposed to invite you, but I don't really want to be with you. No, Jesus calls him into a warm relationship with himself. Jesus loves him. Do you know why? Because Jesus comes near to those who are far. What I want you to understand this morning, friend, is that Jesus is not simply inviting you to change your religious affiliation. This is not a procedural change. This is not a formality. This is not paperwork. Jesus is inviting you and you and you to come into warm relationship with himself. He's calling you to follow him because he loves you. And he's not here to condemn you. Jesus showed up because you are made in the image of God, and he wants to restore you to live the good life, the life that he designed for you to live. He says, come and experience new humanity, not this fallen humanity. And I know what it feels like, and I'm sure you know what it feels like when there are other people in your life that they don't want to look at you in the eyes because of your shame and your past. And Jesus says, I won't only look you in the eyes. I want you to follow me. Revelation chapter 3, one of the most beautiful verses in the Bible. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. That's the call. He says, come, know me, be known by me. Now, here's where our passage really gets crazy, and here's where I want to start bringing it to a head. It's not just Levi. Look at your Bibles. Look what it says. It's not just Levi. It says many tax collectors and sinners are there. Friends, this is so sweet. Jesus' kindness and his mercy and his grace, it is so attractive. It is so genuine that at some point, Levi tells his coworkers about it. I imagine that Monday morning where they're all going around saying, hey, what did you do this weekend? They're like, oh, I can't remember, man. I'm like, yeah, it was crazy. Oh, it was wild. Levi, what did you do? I put in my resignation. What? And he begins to tell them about his invitation into a formal residency program with the local rabbi. And these coworkers, man, these tax collectors, they know the religious game. They know those people. And so they go, ha. Sure. Hey, guys, Levi found religion. And they're laughing at him. They go, oh, and does your imaginary rabbi have a name? Ha, ha, ha. And they're just giving it to him, man. Yeah, I'm quitting my job. I'm going to do something different. I don't feel good about this anymore. And they're just ribbing him. And then I imagine here, and I want you to write this down, because Levi uses three words that will change somebody's life. And I want you to write these down. You got to memorize these words, friends. Put them on a tattoo on your body, but make sure you put it backwards so you can see it in the mirror, okay? Levi, he looked at his coworkers in the eyes and he said, oh yeah? Come and see. Come and see. As a matter of fact, my rabbi, Jesus, he said, I can invite anybody that I want to dinner tonight. Come and see. And they freeze. What? Us? Come to dinner? Yep, come to dinner. And he'll be there. And that night, in Levi's home, two worlds collide. Levi's people are invited to come and spend time with Jesus and his people, and they come, and just like Levi experienced, his co-workers are drawn to and they are attracted to Jesus. They feel comfortable in his presence. They are refreshed. They are blown away with kindness, and eventually, hear me, eventually, his kindness leads them to repentance. His grace and his mercy and his kindness caused them to do the same dance that Levi did, the 1-2 pivot step, right? And we know this because look what it says. Many followed him. There are many reclining with Jesus at his table. There are many who have been brought in. Why? Because Jesus comes near to those who are far. It's beautiful. And here's where I want to bring this sermon home. Here's where I need you guys to get this in your soul. Jesus reached an entire demographic of people called tax collectors, an entire profession, an entire field, but it started by reaching one. He reached many tax collectors, but it started by reaching one tax collector. Jesus comes near to those who are far, and he often does it by coming through his people. He reached Levi, and then through Levi, he reached Levi's circle of influence. Do you understand, Christian, that you have your circle of influence? Each of us has a unique relational web. We all have our own network of people and relationships, and we believe at East Point that God has sovereignly and God has strategically placed you in your situation, in your job, in your neighborhood, in your family of origin. Why? He did it strategically. Because he wants to use you, just like he used Levi, to spread his message of love and grace to the people that we are uniquely positioned to reach. We mentioned it earlier. Teachers, you're going back to school. I will never have a pulpit in your faculty lounge. You're like, man, I just hope my fellow teachers can hear the gospel. I would love for my fellow teachers to become followers of Jesus. Sam, can you come and do an event? No. Nope. That's your circle of influence. Those are your coworkers. Those are your subcontractors. Those are your fellow farmers. Those are your neighbors. That's your sister-in-law. That's your cousin. Each of us has a circle of influence. I just wish I had more words to explain this because this is so countercultural, even in the church world. See, in the church world, we tend to think of outreach as big events. And guys, 720 stinking backpacks, that helps. That makes a difference, absolutely. But when we're talking about partnering with Jesus, what I mean is, what is part and parcel with being a disciple, I'm not talking about just putting on big events. I'm talking about going fishing in our own unique pond. That's what it is. Is it important to give out backpacks and to see the kingdom of God come to fruition and to help people get a taste of God's economy? Yes, we need to do that. That is how they will know us, by our love. And we need to be Christians. We need to be followers of Jesus who are being trained and equipped and led by the Spirit to go fishing in our own pond, to go fishing in our own circle of influence, to go in boldness and learn how to say the three words that will change somebody's life. Come and see. Come and see. You get to partner with Jesus as he pursues and changes people's life. Friend, you get to say three words that will change somebody's life in your own circle of influence. Come and see. And I get it. I know how easy it is to live a compartmentalized life. I got my normal life over here, right? And then I got my faith life over here. I got my coworkers and my classmates. I got my neighbors and my family. And then over here, I go to community group and I kick it with Jesus and the disciples. But these worlds, they never touch. But in this story this morning, we realize that the call to follow Jesus includes bringing him and his influence and his kingdom to bear on every aspect of our lives. To partner with him on mission. Friends, to follow Jesus means to help others follow Jesus. Who are you helping follow Jesus? Whom are you praying for to become a follower of Jesus? Now, let's be real. The story is not all rainbows and ponies, is it? It's not all, wow, evangelism, wow, baptisms. No, for every person who is attracted to the grace and love of Jesus, we find a couple of people who are frustrated by the same. Check out what it says. Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? You see, Jesus' grace, it will always stir hope in the ragged, but it also stirs hypocrisy in the religious. There are some people who are offended by Jesus. His indiscriminate acceptance and friendliness, it's making them uncomfortable. Why is he eating with those kinds of people? Why is he befriending? Why is he hanging out with those who are farthest from God? This flies in the face of social convention. This flies in the face of religion. We're supposed to ignore. We're supposed to distance those who don't deserve to be in, right? We're supposed to radiate displeasure and disapproval and look down our noses at those people and only spend time with people who deserve it. Doesn't Jesus know the game? And they don't know Jesus at all because Jesus is not interested in the slightest in their religious games. And with this beautiful, poignant little metaphor, look what he says. He really brings clarity to his mission. Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Just as a doctor spends the majority of his time with sick and dying people, so too, I have come to do spiritual surgery. I have come to spend time with people who are on their spiritual deathbeds. I am here for those who are sick, not with cancer, but with sin that separates them from God. I have come to heal, to restore, to redeem. I'm not here for the righteous, for those who think they're good enough without me. I'm here for those who know they can't. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. Jesus is not interested in, and he doesn't want his people to be interested in these tired social hierarchies. He's not coming to play our religious games. He's coming to the very people who need him. I'm not sure if you've ever heard this before, but I've heard it said that Jesus comes near to those who are far. There's a sick world out there, East Point Church. And Jesus has called you to be his disciple. He has called you to join him on his mission field to heal, deliver, and offer hope. You get to do this. I get to do this. So here's my question. Who in your circle of influence are you praying for that they would become a follower of Jesus? Who in your relational web and in your network are you praying, Lord, would you give me an opportunity to share my story, to listen to other people's stories, and ultimately to share your story? And if you're like, man, that terrifies me. I have no idea where to even start. We have a little tool that we use here at East Point Church called an influence map. And if you would like that tool, I'll send it to you this afternoon. Just shoot us a text called MAP. And I will send you a little tool that I use with guys that I disciple. We use it here on our teams. But it's just called an influence map, just to help you understand where God has positioned you and to give you a few prayer prompts to get started. The call here is to partner with Jesus. And I want to end by talking to those of you in the room who maybe you really resonate with the part of the story of those who are spiritually sick. Are you sick? Are you painfully aware of the brokenness in your life? Does it hurt to think of the mistakes and the regrets that you've made? If you're spiritually sick, I have good news. The doctor is in, and he will see you now. Jesus has come to make you well. Jesus has come to transform you by his unbelievable grace, by his unbelievable kindness. He wants to teach you his ways. And so I ask you, do you dare to believe that Jesus would call you to sit at his table? Do you dare to believe that Jesus would overlook your mistakes and forgive you? Do you dare to believe that he would call you his child and set you on a new path? If you dare to believe that, we have a very special word in the Bible. It's simply called faith. You go, I believe that. And the Lord responds to faith by saving you. And then you go public with your faith through baptism. He welcomes you, friend. All of you who don't have it together, Jesus, the friend of sinners. Jesus, the friend of tired and impatient mothers. Jesus, the friend of the proud and the self-righteous. Jesus, the friend of the selfish. Jesus, the friend of the jealous. Jesus, the friend of the gossips. Jesus, the friend of the foul-mouthed. Come to him. You are not too far away. Because as a matter of fact, Jesus comes near to those who are far. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we're so grateful for your mercy. We're grateful for your kindness. Lord, we were all like Levi, and those of us who don't think so, Lord, we're just lying to ourselves. And so thank you for calling us to follow you. Lord, we hear that call. We will follow you with all of our lives. Lord, help us to do that. And then, Lord, would you also help us to reach out to others? Lord, would you use us? Give us courage. Give us wisdom. Give us tact. Give us hearts that genuinely see people in need of healing, not projects to be fixed. Father, give us relational favor for all of the people in our net. Help us to see them the way that you see them so that, Lord, we just can have open doors and soft hearts. We need you, Lord. And Father, just like the text said, there were many who followed him. We believe that there will be many in Talbot County and Queen Anne's County and Caroline County and Dorchester County who believe and follow you, Lord. So thank you for the privilege it is to be a part of it. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Thank you, Lord, for your word.
We want to thank you again for joining us for this week's sermon podcast. My name is Daniel, and I'm the music and creative pastor here at East Point Church. And if you were challenged, encouraged, or impacted in any way by this week's sermon, we would love to hear about it. It's your stories that encourage us in what we do, and we just want to celebrate what God is doing in your life. So you can go ahead and share with us at podcast@epeaston.com. Also, make sure that you subscribe to our channel to stay up to date with the latest sermons. Have a great week.